We are blessed with some really great song leaders. And thank you, Daniel. Thank you, David.
David,
yeah. And Dwight. Do you know anyone whose life basically says, I know that my life doesn't really look like a Christian life should look, but I believe in God. One writer described folks with that approach in life as Christian atheists. Sounds a little harsh, but his point was they are people who believe in God but live as though God doesn't exist. And actually, it's easy for, you know, the preacher to stand here and talk about what others are doing or leaving undone. But basically, being like that Christian atheist, saying one thing and do another, is all of a struggle to some degree that we all face. In other words, being completely consistent with what we believe with all our hearts. And so how do we deal with that kind of struggle? Maybe the most common way, just compare yourself to someone else. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to just say, look, I may not be perfect, but I'm a lot better than that person. That's not the path we want to travel. We want to genuinely pursue spiritual growth. Last Sunday night, we studied the first part of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And it says this, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And we learned that our pursuit for spiritual growth obviously just calls for things like cooperation with God and commitment to grow and constancy in the process of growth. That's just common sense stuff. This evening, we're going to take a look at the second part of verse 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, before we dive in here, we need to back up and look at the big picture. You know, the big picture is like a map. Now, growing up in Hilton, Oklahoma, I never remember needing a map. In that area of the county, the roads went east and west and north and south. Now, in August of 91, I moved to Lafayette, Louisiana, and Lafayette, Louisiana is not that way. It's a river town, which means everything sort of lines with the river. And one of the first things I did after moving there was going out, you know, and exploring my new town. Now, I want you to understand, I did not have a map. You know, this Oklahoma country boy had never had a problem getting to where he wanted to go. Maps were for sissies. So I took off driving, and the roads curved and weaved and occasionally I would wonder, well, I wonder exactly where I am now. And then suddenly, I ended up at the very intersection I began my path, and I had no idea how I got there. Well, it was time for a map. On that drive, I want you to understand, I would have never admitted that I was lost, because I knew I could turn around and go back to where I started. I just didn't know I was going to go back to where I started like I did. I didn't know exactly where I was, but I never felt lost. It's important to have a map, to have the big picture, the big perspective. And so in tonight's lesson, we're going to start that way. We're going to look at the map, get the big picture. So look at verse 5 again. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And so what do we learn when we back up and we look at the big picture of this passage? Well, first of all, notice that making every effort to supplement or add to your faith is a command for believers only. Bottom line, faith is the foundation. Add to your faith. That's the starting place. Paul doesn't write, make every effort to add faith. He writes, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Because we always build on our faith. That's the beginning place of any relationship with God. And so if you haven't acted upon faith, you haven't heard the gospel and believed it and been willing to confess with your lips from your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, repented of your sins, and then put on Christ in baptism, with an obedient faith, then this verse is not quite ready for you. A non-Christian cannot fulfill the command of this passage because these qualities grow out of a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's the beginning place. And so bottom line, growth is the process. Spiritual growth is the process of building upon your faith, your trust, your dependence upon God to meet all your needs. And real faith always leads to real changes on the inside and on the outside. Notice in verse 1, Paul points out that our faith is in no way inferior to the faith of those early Christians. That means us today. Look at chapter 1, verse 1 here in 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, Peter assures them, your faith and my faith are just one and the same. And we all need to build on our faith. Now secondly, the big picture teaches us that making every effort to supplant or to add to our faith basically is just a command to become more like Jesus. That's our goal. We're simply trying to become like our Lord. Think about this. The character qualities that we are to pursue are also the character qualities that you find in God. Look at verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And so here's our goal, that we become partakers of the divine nature. That's just a fancy way of saying becoming like Christ and becoming the character of God, the holiness of God. And so Peter is assuring you and me that we can do that. We can become like God. We can especially become like Christ who walked among us. But again, don't misread the map. Yes, the first thing on the list is virtue. And the last thing on the list is love. But Peter isn't giving us a step-by-step order of spiritual growth. He's painting a word picture of Christian character as we become like Jesus. In other words, none of these character Christian virtues is dependent on its place in the chain to exist. So we can't say, look, you can't expect me to persevere because I haven't achieved self-control yet. That's not the message. Instead, Peter would say that a Christian without perseverance is missing a vital ingredient of becoming like Christ. And so we have different areas of strengths and weaknesses, areas of concern, but we all have the same starting place, faith. And we all have the same goal of becoming like Christ. Now, thirdly, the big picture teaches us that making every effort to supplant or add to our faith is a command that God has already empowered us to do. That's good news, isn't it? He's not asking us something that's just no chance. Some Christians feel overwhelmed by the challenge of becoming like Christ. I mean, that's pretty monumental. But God has made it possible for us to live the impossible. In fact, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And so since His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then we have the blessing and the opportunity, giving all diligence to add to our faith virtue. He's given us everything we need to grow spiritually. And so let me make this clear. You're not trying to become what you're not. You ever tried to do that? Become something you're not in other people's eyes? You are pursuing growth that will allow you to be true to what you are. You are a child of God. That's all you're trying to do, is growing to be true to what you are. And so therefore, you're in the process of becoming growing spiritually. The God we serve has already made us righteous through Christ, and therefore we really can live a godly life. Now, with that broad map in mind, with that big picture, we're ready to zoom in on our passage for tonight, and that is to add to our faith virtue. But verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Literally, this verse is saying that you should make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, in the original language, the New Testament was originally written in the common Greek of the first century. And that word translated virtue can also be translated excellence. But it does not mean excellence as in giving your best effort or through your efforts coming up with the best result. This isn't one of those pull yourself up with your own bootstraps words. This word refers to moral excellence. And literally, to the fulfillment of a thing. That's why it's translated goodness in other Bible versions. One man explained this word this way. I thought this was good. He said, when anything in nature fulfills its purpose, that's virtue. That's moral excellence, if you will. For instance, some friends of mine over at Fitztown, north of Fitztown, in the suburbs of Fitztown, they cleared off, bought some land, cleared off some land and plowed it up and sprigged Bermuda grass, and they fertilized it. And You know, if you fertilize Bermuda grass and it grows, it's going to, I mean, and it rains, it's going to grow fast. And this grew fast. And within a few years, they're cutting and raking and baling hay each summer off that land. A lot of hay. And when they did that, this word could be applied. This land was now fulfilling its purpose. It was fruitful. The tool that works correctly is excellent. You ever tried to pull a nail without a claw hammer or a pry bar? A nail bar? And then you have one and you go, man, this works excellent. That's what we're talking about. It's doing what it was designed to do. And Christians are supposed to glorify God because they have God's nature within. And so when Christians glorify God, they exhibit excellence because they are fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. Virtue. And so, are you morally excellent? Now, you might be like me, look, I'm not perfect. That's not the point. Are you fulfilling God's design for you? God's purposes for you? Then you're described by this word. Add to your faith virtue. During Peter's time, false teachers had, of course, infiltrated the early church. And throughout Peter's letters, you see warnings. One of those is in chapter 2 here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, I love verse 2 in the Good News Bible. It reads this way. Even so, many will follow their immoral ways. And because of what they do, others will speak evil of the way of truth. That's pretty good, isn't it? In other words, they were not morally excellent. Yes, they had a lot to say about faith and about religion, but virtue was nowhere to be found. In short, they were saying one thing and doing another thing. They claimed to believe in God, but living as though He didn't exist. And so hypocrisy was their lifestyle. And so no way were they fulfilling God's purposes for them. And so now, you know, we see that and it kind of hits us. Okay, Danny. Okay, big boy, you got to come clean with yourself. What about you? Do you daily exhibit practical goodness that fulfills your purpose? Virtue. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Back to 1 Peter. I love this passage because it's talking about you and me. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation. We get hung up on the Jews being chosen. Look, in Christ we're all chosen. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're all priests. In other words, we approach God for ourselves. We don't have to have a priest approach God for us. We're all priests. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Now why? Why are we all that? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Does that sound like your purpose? I like the way the New American Standard reads, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I really like that. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The word excellencies and praises in this verse is the exact same Greek word translated virtue back in 2 Peter 1:5. Same word. We are morally excellent when we reflect the goodness of God and the goodness of Christ in this old spiritually dark world. Reflect some light. When we are proclaiming the excellencies of God, we're morally excellent. The combination, by the way, the combination of the words moral and excellence serve to enlighten us. You are to do your best in obeying the Lord. We all know that. We all get that. And we've all felt the temptation to just do enough to get by on the tough days during our spiritual lives, to do enough so that someone else will think we're doing what we ought to do. I mean, that's a temptation. But Peter's reminding us we are to diligently add to our faith this wonderful thing called virtue. And mark this down. No one mistakes virtue for anything else. No one mistakes moral excellence or goodness when they see it, especially when you're doing the right things with faith as your absolute foundation. When they see you and me striving to be like Christ, not perfect, but striving to be like Christ, it really is a brilliant light that penetrates the darkness. That was Peter's goal in this letter. In fact, that's the goal of every New Testament book, that we become more like Christ, Christ-likeness. One last passage, Titus 3:8. This is one of Paul's faithful sayings. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. What's the profit? Well, they get to see Christ living in you. They get to see the gospel alive, the consequences of the gospel, the blessings of the gospel alive in you. I began this lesson by talking about Christian atheism or hypocrisy. And so how do we overcome that? How do we grow to where we walk the talk and talk the walk? Well, one man wrote this. I really like this. I want to share this with you. The more honest I became, the more I hated living faithlessly. And the more I craved intimacy with God. Whatever it takes became my heart's cry. Whatever it takes to know Him. Whatever it takes to live like I truly love God. Whatever it takes to love eternity more than the world. Whatever it takes. That's good stuff. That's the key. Whatever it takes to add virtue to our faith, whatever it takes, we will do it. Whatever it takes. If there's a sin that's keeping you from drawing closer to God, you do whatever it takes to deal with that sin. Repent of that sin and walk away. Walk back to God. If a relationship is hindering your obedience to Christ, you do whatever it takes to manage that relationship and not allow it to become a hindrance in your spiritual growth. Whatever it takes. If a prayer draws you closer to God, hey, whatever it takes, I'll make time to pray. See, this list could go on and on, couldn't it? And so my encouragement to you this week is to think often, hey, whatever it takes. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever it takes. God has given me the opportunity to add to my faith virtue. By the way, when you're adding to your faith is growing. And so this evening, that's my encouragement. Commit to diligently adding to your faith virtue, moral excellence, and goodness. If you need to come, if you need prayers or whatever need you have, please come now. While we stand and sing.
We praise Thee, O God.